Nehemiah chapter number 3, please. Nehemiah chapter 3 tonight. And when I began preaching out of the book of Nehemiah back in February, I did not intend on preaching through the whole book. There was just a passage there that God had burned it upon my heart. But now as we've got into it, one of these books I must confess I cannot get out of. I've been looking and praying, but the Lord just wants us to keep coming back to this well. The book of Nehemiah, it's all about wall building. Y'all listening? It's all about wall building, spiritual wall building. Yes, it's an actual construction project. Really happened. Amen? It's an actual construction project, but for our application today, the Lord is not calling us to go out and erect physical walls around our city. He is calling us to erect spiritual walls. When Nehemiah set about to rebuild Jerusalem, his heart was broken for his beloved homeland. He was a man known, possessed with a driving passion and a burden to do something for God. Can I tell you tonight, I think that quite frankly would change our nation if God's people could just be possessed with a driving burden and a passion to do something for God. Amen. Maybe more accurate to say it, to do something through God, for there's no doubt about it that Nehemiah did it through God's power. There were 2.5 miles of rubbish and waste around the city. Nehemiah was working with a people who had become apathetic to their own plight. They had got used to the rubble laying in their life. They had got used to the broken down walls. They had learned to function just so with it. Isn't it amazing tonight, believers, what we learn to function with? How much dysfunction becomes our normal function when we don't deal with it? Would y'all give me an amen on right there? I meet people all the time. I counsel with people all the time. And I talk with folks all the time, whether in this church or another church or other places. And the dysfunction has become such a part of their life that they don't even see the rubble. They don't even see all the mess. They don't understand all that's going on and cannot understand why there are so many incursions by the enemy into their life. It's simply because this, their walls are broken down and their gates are demolished. He had enemies without and compromise within. It was a difficult task, but in 52 days, the project was done. No experience, no certifications, no OSHA. That's why it got done. Amen. There was none of those things going on. 52 days. That's what happens when government gets out of the way. Amen. You get in and get after it. But in 52 days, the project was done. And I want to, again, give you this application from a few weeks ago. It's amazing how fast God can turn things around when God's people get to the work. Amen. It's amazing what God can do when we say, Lord, we want to do what you want done. We have to remember that this project, this wall building project, wasn't simply Nehemiah's idea. It was simply something he committed himself to. It was a burden he picked up on his life. This wasn't about ambition. This was about obedience. Amen. Amen. The goldsmiths and the perfume makers of the city put aside their normal duties and they labored. And they're listed here in chapter number 3 to remind us this, that the endeavors that we set out for the Lord, whatever their big jobs or small jobs, whatever jobs they may be, that God takes note of them, and there's no job too big or too small for God. Amen. Amen. No job that cannot get done with too big for us. With God's help, we can do anything. And it's an amazing, amazing story. And as I said just a minute ago, this wasn't simply about building a wall. Would you go with me to Daniel chapter number 9 rather quickly? Keep your marker in Nehemiah. We'll be right back. Daniel chapter number 9, please. Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. You know the story. Nehemiah's brothers come back to him, and he's just kind of asking off-the-cuff question, how's Jerusalem doing? And when they told him of the report, he wept, and he cried, and he fasted, and he prayed, and God did some miraculous things. And we've looked over the last several weeks at what God does and the hands that God uses to get his work done. And it's an amazing, amazing testimony of what God did. But Daniel chapter number 9, there is some amazing significance to this wall building project. Daniel chapter number 9, verse 20, while I was speaking, this is Daniel, and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. Isn't it amazing when you get clean how you can hear God? Somebody give me an amen right there. When you get things cleaned up in your life and deal with what God wants to deal with, and God can deal with you. And the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I've now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build where? Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the, what's the next word? The wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come, that shall come and destroy the city of the sanctuary. And there, the end there shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war, desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now go back with me to Nehemiah chapter number 3. Here's what Daniel said. Daniel recorded a vision, and an interpretation was given him from Gabriel. Gabriel came and said, from the going forth of the command to rebuild the walls, there are 70 weeks. For those of you who may not be aware, that's 70 time periods of 7 years, 490 years total. 69 of those weeks have already been accomplished. Amen. They're already done. That means, as far as this consideration of the God's prophecy in this prophetic part here, there's 1 week left. 7 years left. And we see some things in Daniel. I don't have a chance to go there tonight and look at all of it, but simply to say, I do believe by this is, and some disagree, some say it was back with the building of the temple, but Daniel didn't say with the building of the temple, he said with the building of the wall. He said that God said, listen, there's going to be 70 years, and there's going to be a time of cutting off, and there's going to be a period between that. The Messiah is getting cut off. That's Jesus being crucified. Everybody with me on this one right here? And it's an amazing thing. The bottom line is this. When Nehemiah went back to building, it wasn't just about building a wall. There was great spiritual significance to that wall being built. Amen. Incredible spiritual significance to that wall being built. Amen. This final week, this 70th week, will take place. If the 69 have happened, and they did, then the 70th will too. Somebody give me an amen right there? Don't you interpret your Bible literally for the first part and not on the other part. Amen. That'll help us. Somebody give me an amen right there? Amen. Well, that 69, that's really, but that 7, that's just an allegory. No, you can't do that. That's not consistent with Scripture. Somebody say amen right there. You got to interpret it the right way. But that 70 week is coming. That 7-year period will take place. And we'll see some interesting things. I think the Bible's very clear that many things are going to happen in the city of Jerusalem. Not just in Jerusalem. You do realize in that 7-year period, in that 70th week, a quarter of the earth's people are going to be killed, and there's a bunch of stuff going on there. We don't get a chance to get into that tonight. I'm not trying to muddle up on Nehemiah. I'm simply saying, but there is going to be some focus back in on that city. Amen. Jerusalem is not like any other city. It's a city where God has chosen to put his name. I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them. This is what God says to David, and they shall dwell in their place and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we all know that David wanted to build a temple. Everybody just keep up with me here. David wanted to build a temple. God said, no. I won't let you build the temple, but I'll give you somebody to sit forever on the throne. We know that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Solomon gets to build it. And here's what God says to Solomon, and Solomon records it in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Why is Satan so interested in Jerusalem? Does he love the locale of it? Let me just kind of give you a quick primer here. That's when he is. There's a lot of conflict there, and we're not getting into why it's causing, who's causing it, all that right now. But the bottom line is this. He's going to set up a false kingdom one day. Going to have a false kingdom. He's got one now, but it's going to be a visible one. He's going to have a false kingdom. There's going to be a false temple. The temple's going to be built. Did you know that? There's a temple going to be built. There's going to be a false temple. They're going to have false worship. And then there's going to be a false Christ. There's going to be a false prophet. There's going to be false teachers. All kinds of abomination going to get set up in there. That is going to be Satan's last and final attempt to establish his kingdom on this earth. Right. Now, we won't have time to go look at different places, but amen. That's his last try. He's dumb enough, I'm sorry to say it, but he's proud. Excuse me, let me go back to that. He's arrogant enough to think he can actually win. He really is arrogant. Satan is that arrogant to think that he can do this, but he needs to. If he would interpret and read the Bible like we all do, he'll understand it too. By the way, I think he knows the day's coming. He's just going to act up, by the way. Somebody say amen. Because anyway, I'm not trying to get off on your own prophecy tonight. I'm simply saying it's going to happen. It's going to happen there. The Lord Jesus is going to put his feet down and going to split the mountain open, and he's going to rule and reign from this place called Jerusalem. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart." Jesus is going to rule one day from the city of Jerusalem. Amen. Are y'all with me on this tonight? Now, so what's all that about? When Nehemiah started building that wall, it set forth the calendar. It put forth a timetable. And it put down 60, started going 69 weeks, and all these different things were happening. And it's an amazing, amazing period. And the point I'm trying to make to you tonight is simply this. There was way more to this than just a building project. And there's more to chapter 3 than just a list of names working on a wall. In chapter 3, there are 10 gates that were repaired.
That's right.
10 gates. These gates are going to give us some spiritual truths here tonight. I'm not going to try to allegorize it. I'm just going to give you some spiritual truths from these gates tonight. Why record these gates? Well, some of these gates you can still find in different things, and I'm not trying to get into exactly where it was. Well, was this the one? Or is it 6.2 blocks down that further? Tonight we're not doing that, okay? Now, how many of y'all know that some of the geography in Israel is not really the geography of the Bible? Did you know that, some of those things?
Amen.
Everybody with me on that one right there? Well, anyway, I'll just keep moving on. Keep moving on. But there are some amazing things here. And I want to look at these gates tonight. See, these gates were, these burned out gates that Nehemiah found. It did not matter if the wall was built, if the gates were not erected. The gates were point of entry. The wall is great, but if the door is open, what good is a wall? Somebody say amen on that one right there. Remember, God hadn't had a problem with the wall. But anyway, he said, let's put the gates up. See, it does not matter if you got a wall if you got no gates. Wall's great. But the gates were essential to the security of the city. In Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah says, "You see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach." Nehemiah wasn't just happy to get the wall built. He said, "We got to get the gates too." He said, "It's a reproach upon the name of God. It's a reproach upon God's city to have the gates burnt down." Somebody give me an amen right there. And can I say to you tonight, we're going to look at some of these gates, and it is a reproach unto God that these gates are not built in our own lives. These gates that we see tonight are critical points of entry for us in the Christian life. They are important that we have them built. And they are gates that unfortunately are disrepair in many churches, in many Christian lives. There are 10 gates. I said I was going to try to get to 5 of them tonight. I know I'll probably get to 2. And that's okay. So tonight, if you want to be a wall builder, you're going to have to build the gates. You're going to have to build the gates. We're going to look at probably 3 of them tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this evening. Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness to Nehemiah and his work and the people there, Lord, and how you blessed it. What a great testimony it is for us to remind us of who you are and how you bless and provide for your work to be done. Lord, if it's your will, it always has your resources. And Lord, if we have your resources and your strength and your provision and your protection and your power, your word is very clear that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. We thank you for that. Lord, Nehemiah is a testimony of an individual who says, "I don't have to do this, but I want to do this. I want to do something for God. I want to make a difference in the world that I'm living in." Father, I pray that we be those kinds of folks tonight. Will we look at the gates this evening, Lord? Will we look at the gates this evening, and by your grace, may we rebuild them in our life if they are burnt down. May we not be okay with the rubbish, May we not be okay with things the way they have been, and that's the way they always will be. But Lord, if you help us through your word, through your spirit tonight, Lord, may we, by the grace of God, rebuild some of these gates and begin even tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're just going to go down looking through the gate, starting in chapter number 3. We'll get, first of all, this evening at the sheep gate. Nehemiah chapter number 3, verse number 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, and they set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. This was the place where the shepherds would come, and they would bring their flocks for sale. This is where the sheep for the sacrifices would be purchased and presented for the atonement. By the way, that was a temporary atonement. Amen. It was a temporary atonement. Aren't you thankful we don't have that anymore? But this is where these lambs would come, and the lambs would be inspected, and they those that were purchased for the sacrifice, that they would be looked over to see if they were without spot and without blemish, and they would be inspected, and all those things would go through, and then somebody would pay for that lamb, and that lamb would be purchased, and then it would be taken, and it would be offered up as an atonement for the nation of Israel and for the people's sins. And so tonight, I'll just get right into it. What is the significance of this gate for us today? It's simply this: salvation through the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Amen. Salvation through the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, John says this: the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know if it's in my notes here. I'm sure it's somewhere. But I'm just a full conviction right now that our nation is in need of straight gospel preaching, clear gospel preaching. There's so much muddled up, so much brought into it, so much. We just need to preach about the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. Amen. Go with me to John chapter number 10, please. Keep your marker in Nehemiah. John chapter number 10, please. John chapter number 10. The Lamb of God. John chapter number 10. I want you to see something tonight. John chapter number 10. Verse number 7. John chapter 10, verse 7, if you found it, would you say amen?
Amen?
Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. When he says this in that context, those people would immediately thought of the sheep gate. They would have understood, oh, wait a minute, the sacrifices that come through that, the Lord Jesus is saying the sacrifice, he is the sheep gate door.
Amen.
It's me. Would you look on there? And he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse number 9, he says it again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's interesting. We're going to get to it in just a minute. You don't, and I believe the Bible teaches very clearly that there is such a thing as eternal security.
Amen.
Amen. Not based on you, based on the Lord. He says, but once you come in the door, now you got access all the time. You can go in and go out and find pasture. Somebody say amen. We'll get to that in just a minute. You'll go back and find it again in Nehemiah. But keep on looking with me here, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And I want to say to you tonight, I hope as a church, and I'm praying as a church, that we keep Christ, we keep the Lamb of God preeminent here as this church, and we preach Christ and we preach the cross, salvation through the Lamb of God. Amen and amen. Revelation 5 and Revelation 5, 6 and 12 and verse 13, the Bible speaks of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The sheep gate speaks to us of the cross and the sacrifice that was made for our sins.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the gate. Nobody comes in and comes out except by me.
Amen.
If you go back to Nehemiah now, you might want to keep your marker in John. We'll come back there in just a little bit. I cannot give a summary or a status of approval of our church. That's the Lord Jesus. Only He can do that. But I am finding over and over again that many churches and many Christians, professing Christians, really don't even know the true gospel. They don't have a clear gospel. There's some form of muddled works with it. There's some form of something just added to it. There's something there that's just not pure, straight, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, risen again, third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. There's this added work to it, a baptism. Some think you got to get baptized to get saved. Some think you get saved and then you kind of work it throughout a little bit and then you're really saved. That's work salvation.
Amen.
And the Bible says very clearly, as Paul said, it's all of grace or it's all of works. You can't have both sides of it. Somebody say amen. It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
Amen.
The Lamb of God. salvation through the Lamb. I do believe this country needs preaching of the cross.
Amen.
You know why? Because if people don't come through the sheep gate, they're going to go down the broad gate.
That's right.
And so we've got to kind of, you know, that's a little messy when you talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and death. And we use words now. People don't like to talk about sin anymore and atonement, really. They like to use the word like brokenness. Well, something broken you can fix. We didn't need fixing. We need regenerating.
Amen.
Amen. And only the Lamb of God can regenerate God's people. Somebody say amen. Only the Lamb of God can. Only the Spirit of God can bring life to a dead man. And salvation through the Lamb of God. And I want to tell you, as I listened to preaching from 50 years ago, and I do listen to a lot of preaching from 50, 60, a long time ago, there's much more preaching about the Lamb than there is today. There's much more preaching about Christ and His sacrifice and His atonement, His work on the cross. It's part of every sermon nearly. You can't, in fact, if you look in the Bible, Jesus is on every page anyway. Would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, why is our nation in such a bad shape? Because we're preaching all kinds of things without preaching Christ, and we've got to get back to the gate of the Lamb of God. And I want to tell you tonight, whether you're here or you're watching online or whatever it might be, if you're trying to come through any way but through the sheep gate, you're coming the wrong way.
Amen.
Salvation through the Lamb of God and the Lamb of God alone.
Amen.
So you know this? The Bible says very clearly everybody's going to worship the Lamb of God. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just not interested in all that. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Right.
Even those who don't come through the sheep gate are going to worship Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So I'm going to just give you some significance about the sheep gate tonight. Not only is it salvation through the Lamb of God, but I want to remind you tonight that Jesus is not only our Lamb, but He's also our Shepherd. I probably shouldn't have had you get out of John. Go right back there, John chapter number 5. I wanted to get someplace else, but let's go look here. John chapter number 5. Well, excuse me, John chapter 10. Then we'll go back, all right? John chapter 10. Don't huff and puff. That's just a few pages over. That's not too bad. Amen. All right, give us a break there. I realize sometimes I quote something. My son said to me not too long ago, he said, Daddy, can you actually preach from the verses you, or the Bible passage you quote? You tell, he said, you go one place and you start preaching and quoting from another one, and I can't keep up. And I said, I'll do the best I can, all right? But anyway, you say, well, he shouldn't have told you that. Well, you can't either. So, amen. All right, but anyway, would you go with me to John chapter number 10? I apologize for that. John chapter number 10, verse number 11. I am the good shepherd.
Amen.
The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him and scattereth the sheep. The hiring fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Let me say to you just very quickly that Jesus is the shepherd of our souls.
Amen.
I don't know a lot about shepherding. In fact, I don't know anything about it. Some of y'all do in here. From what I understand, that sheep are not the brightest of animals. I read somewhere in the Hebrew, they're dumber than a box of rocks. That's in there, all right? I mean, they're just dumb. But you know what? Can I just tell you tonight? We won't go to Psalm chapter number 23, but we could. Tonight, my dear brother and sister, if you've come through the sheep gate, you have a shepherd of your soul. You have somebody who will walk with you and guide you and restore your soul and take care of you. Somebody say amen right there. Heal all your diseases. If you were to go back and look, I think it is in John 5, if I'm not mistaken, in John chapter number 5, the pool of Bethesda wasn't too far from the sheep gate. Did you know that?
Yep.
And so people over there sitting over by the sheep gate, and they had nobody to care for them. And Jesus came in and looked at all those people sick. Here what it was. It was in view of the sheep gate by the pool of Bethesda. And here's the truth of the bottom line. You come through the sheep gate and there's healing for your soul in there. Amen. I'm thankful for the shepherd of my soul. The Lord Jesus has walked with me now and I've walked with Him, praise God, for over 30 years of my life. And He's a good shepherd and He's the chief shepherd and I'm thankful for it. Jesus is the shepherd of our souls. And that brings me to a third point. We're sheep. I hate to tell you tonight. I'm sorry, but you're sheep. We're sheep, amen. We're sheep. We're sheep. He said, I don't like that. It's better than being a goat.
Amen.
You one or the other tonight. I am being honest with you on that one right there. You're a sheep or a goat, and the Lord Jesus is going to separate that one day. Jesus said this in John chapter 10. Or I don't know if you're still there or not, but I'll keep reading. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What is he talking about here? He's talking about Gentiles. Amen. Gentiles under one shepherd, under one fold. Somebody give me an amen right there. There's no twain, two man, there's one. The Bible teaches this. Somebody can say amen right there. I'm just telling you tonight, we're sheep. We need to identify ourselves as sheep, recognize we're sheep, recognize we don't have it all together, and we need to stay with our shepherd. We need to stay with our shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and the Bible says, and they follow me. Amen. People say, I don't want to follow nobody. Everybody's following somebody, and if you're truly a sheep, you'll follow the good shepherd. Amen. We're sheep. He said, I don't want to be a sheep. Read Psalm 23. You do want to be a sheep. The Lord takes good care of his sheep. Amen. We are his sheep. We're the people of sheep of his pasture. Somebody say amen right there. I know you don't think about it often, but you're a sheep. You're a sheep. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. You're known of the Lord. Now let me give you this last one here. Go back to Nehemiah now. Now I want to get to where I want to get to. Nehemiah chapter number 3. We just got to get back to the place where we're dependent upon the shepherd. Can I tell you tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, would you look this way? Your biggest problem and my biggest problem is independence. Once I think I've been born somebody in the sheepfold, I think I can start walking on my own. But I don't know, you know, Brother Dan, you can tell us about sheep. Brother Dan, you've had a few. I don't know if you got any more or not. You might have been eating them this week. I don't know. But anyway, that's okay. But I want to tell you something. I don't know if sheep ever get to the place where they don't need a shepherd. I think they need one until they die, until they get eaten. Get all diseased, messed up without the shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you not, brother and sister, I'm not trying to insult you, but you're a sheep. And you need your shepherd.
Amen.
You need your shepherd. In Nehemiah chapter number 3, let's get back there. By the way, I'm going to give you this verse. The Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen.
Can I just pause for a second and just meddle in your life for just a minute? Not audibly. We need to talk about that one. But have you heard the voice of the Lord this week? Have you been listening to your shepherd?
Amen.
Have you been following your shepherd? Have you been eating what the shepherd wants to feed you? Have you been drinking beside the still waters? I got shepherded this week.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus shepherded me this week. He said, what kind of experience did you have? It wasn't an experience. It was the Spirit of God working me through his word, shepherding me and guiding me and taking me where I needed to be. Let me lie down. Somebody say amen. That's your shepherd. I don't know a lot about shepherding. I know that these sheep love their shepherd. And they follow their shepherd. And they come at that shepherd's voice. They tell us that these guys, that somebody could come and watch the sheep pens and then the shepherds, they knew the shepherds knew them so well, and they knew their shepherds so well that they didn't go out there and pick out their sheep. They all looked the same, but the shepherd would say, and the sheep knew their voice of their own shepherd, and they could follow that shepherd. Can I tell you something? In a world full of bad shepherds and hirelings, you need to know your shepherd. You need to be able to discern your shepherd's voice. Somebody give me an amen right there. I find a lot of Christians don't know their shepherd's voice because they hadn't listened to what their shepherd has said. He said, I thought you were my shepherd. No, I'm not. I'm an under-shepherd. I'm not your shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. Amen. I'm not the shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's salvation in the Lamb of God. Jesus is the shepherd of our souls. He'll take care of all your needs. We're sheep, and the sheep gate needs to be revisited from time to time. Would you notice in Nehemiah chapter 3 at the end of it? You say you're already done with the passage. Hold on. Verse number 32. And between the going up of the corner into the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. If you go back and study this, if I'm not mistaken, when they repaired the walls and the gates, they did it counterclockwise. They went all the way back around. I'm talking about full circle here. And here's the point I just want to make with this. Not only was the sheep gate the starting point of everything, but it's where you need to visit all the time. The Bible tells us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye therein. Amen. So you walk in Him. And so you never get to the place, would you look at me here tonight? You never get to the place where you're your own shepherd. You always need the Lord Jesus. You always need to run to Jesus. You always need to look unto Jesus. You always need to listen to the voice of your shepherd. There's not a day you can go by that you don't need shepherding, and there's not a day that goes by that he won't shepherd you. He is the chief shepherd, and he will appear one day, and let's wait for him, and let's love him, and let's feed from him, and let's listen to him. Amen. A shepherd. This week, would you say, Lord, I'm your sheep. I want to hear your voice, not out loud, but in your word. I want you to speak to me. What you want to feed me, I want you to feed me. Somebody says, where he leads, I will follow. What he feeds, I will swallow. Amen. And he is your shepherd. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Somebody, I don't like Christian life. Well, you're listening to the wrong shepherd. You're not following the shepherd. The shepherd leads you beside the still waters. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you okay with the shepherd. Somebody give me an amen right there. That's your shepherd, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus, the shepherd was the sheep and the shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. And I just want to tell you tonight, we got to rebuild that sheep gate in our churches. We got to rebuild that sheep gate in our homes. When we run to our shepherd, we're too many billy goats and rams. I used to have a friend of mine asked me to keep a goat for him one time. I now know why. They didn't want him back. This goat, this is the truth. I named him Timex. Why? Because he took a licking and kept on ticking. Trust me, I want to tell you, he got it. That goat, Mom and Dad, I'm telling the truth. We had some neighbors brought him to me. He lived in my doghouse with my dog. They would play King of the Mountain on the doghouse. He always won until he got bit or something like that. But he was obstinate. Turn your back on him and he'd poke you. Butt heads with you. And so what'd you do with him? Did you have, you know, animal therapy? Yes. What'd that include? I'll tell you after church because we're online right now, all right? But the bottom line was, I didn't think he could take it, but he could. You know why so many Christians don't like their Christian life? You're acting like a goat, and you might be one, but quit bucking against your shepherd. Sometimes a shepherd had to break lamb's legs. Did you know that? They had to break their legs so they learned dependency upon their shepherd. You're wondering right now why your legs are broken. It's because the shepherd is breaking you to learn dependency upon your shepherd. Amen. We're too big for our own britches. We need a shepherd. I can't face my tomorrow. Are you ready for this? I can't not live out my tomorrow. You say, what do you got going tomorrow? I'm not sure. I got a few things planned. But I can't live my tomorrow without my shepherd guiding me. Amen. I'm totally dependent upon my shepherd. Amen. And so are you. Are y'all with me tonight? The sheep gate. The sheep gate. Now I want you to notice the second gate, Nehemiah chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter number 3. Verse number 3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Oh, I forgot to tell you something about that sheep gate. That sheep gate's the only gate that had no locks on it. Anybody could walk in that gate. That gate was guarded by a guard. That's what Jesus was talking about. I'm standing at the door watching who's coming in and watching who's coming out. But the gate was open. Anybody would come to the gate. And the shepherd would let in who he wanted. Whoever was guarding that sheep gate, he could let in whoever he wanted to let in. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, the sheep gate's open. He's rich in mercy. He'll call upon his name. Somebody say amen right there. Do you know people don't know that about God? They don't know that they can call upon him. They think they've got to work their way. They don't know that the invitation's already been given, that Jesus has already done all the work, that Jesus did all the coming and going that needed to be done and all the work that needed to be done. He opened the sheep gate. He built the sheep gate. He built the door. He is the door. He is the shepherd. And I'm telling you now, we got to get back to rebuilding the sheep gate in the churches. Amen. Now let's look here at number 2, the fish gate. The fish gate. Years ago, I went to the Philippines. My brother-in-law's had a fish market. Fish business. So I got to see firsthand what it was like to pick up these fish way down a river in the middle of nowhere and take them and put them on a boat and watch these guys go underwater. They didn't have stuff like we have. So to get underwater, they would fill up basketballs with air, put a tube in it, and that's how they would go, and that was their scuba diving gear. They didn't have no money. And so they would go there, and then we took it all the way down, about 6 hours, 7 hours. We took it all the way back, and we took it to this fish gate. It was nasty. It was nasty. It stunk to high heaven. But you know what? Let me just give you this. This fish gate is where the Galileans would bring their catch for the day. Every day, it was where people could come and find nourishment for their souls. And I want to tell you, my friends, there's still some fishing that needs to be done today.
Amen.
Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, that fish gate needs to be restored in our churches.
Amen.
Amen. This fish gate needs to be restored in our church. I want to tell you tonight, you may not feel like you're gifted. You may not feel like you have anything. But I will tell you this much. If you'll follow Jesus, He'll make you a fisher of men.
Amen.
Come on now with me tonight, church. Don't you get off on this business. Oh, wait a minute now. We're talking about it. Oh, God gives churches. The Bible does say that God gives churches evangelists. The Bible does say that. But it doesn't say that's only their job. Evangelists stir other people to evangelical work. Somebody give me an amen right there. In the real sense of the term. In the real sense of the term. You say, are you an evangelical? No. And you're not either. You say, yes, I am. No, you're not. We're not an evangelical church, but we do want to be an evangelistic church.
Amen.
There is a difference. We don't have time to get into that tonight. This notion of being a fisherman became synonymous with the early church long before it was a decal and a marker on your cars. The little fish sign was going everywhere, and that was God's people saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Did you know that? Somebody didn't come up, people making money off of it now, but back then it was like, hey, here's some secret code. We're followers of Jesus, and they do the little fish sign.
Amen.
See, it was synonymous with being a follower of Christ. If you were a follower of Christ, then you were a fisher of souls.
Amen.
You went after souls. That's what the Bible says. And I want to tell you something. This is an absolute gate that needs to be rebuilt in our church. Door after door, street after street in this city is in need of some city fishermen to come in and come knocking them doors and say, hey, I know the shepherd. I've been there. Let me take you through the sheep gate. Somebody say amen right there and get after people's souls. And here's the amazing thing. If we'll get out and get to it, Jesus will tell us where to cast our nets.
Amen. Amen.
I love that. You get out, we're waiting on the shore. Well, show me where they're at. And God says, no, get out there and do it. And then Jesus said, I'll show you where to fish and you have a great big haul. Amen. Are y'all still with me tonight in God's house? Listen, would you come this week and would you say, Lord, let me rebuild the fish gate. Help me to be the fish gate builder. Help me be a fisherman in my neighborhood, in my city, in my workplace. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to get started. I've never done it before. I've never even talked to anybody about their soul. But Lord, if you'll help me do it, I will get out and be a fisher of men.
Amen.
Amen. And I promise you this, the Lord's not going to say, I'm not interested. See, I think that's why we don't pray, because we know what He's going to do.
Yeah.
I think I know why we don't pray for laborers to be sent forth in the harvest, because we know what God's going to say. You first. Thank you for volunteering.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, some of us are better at talking to people and some of us would rather just talk to wood. But the bottom line is this. It's never been about personality that makes you effective as a witness. It's been God's power poured upon people with boldness and spirit power and God's word. Faith cometh by hearing or the hearing of the word of God. And you get out and be a fisher of men and watch what God does with you.
Amen.
Amen. Rebuild the fish gate. Now let me get back to one more, Nehemiah chapter number 3, and we'll close. Believe it or not, we'll close. Verse number 6. The sheep gate, the fish gate, verse number 6, the old gate.
Amen.
Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Bozadiah. I wish that things would get easier every time I read them. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Why is it called the old gate? Now, I'm not going to say this is gospel proof, because I don't have gospel proof for it, so I'm not going to say it is. But what we understand and what people say about this is that this gate was built by a man by the name of Melchizedek. Now, the Bible speaks of Melchizedek. I believe it's the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. Are y'all okay tonight? But tradition, and again, it might just be a tradition, but if it is, it makes the sermon go much better. So we'll stick with it. Amen. Tradition says Melchizedek wasn't an uncommon name. I want you to know that. In Hebrews chapter number 7, let's start in verse 6. Chapter 6, excuse me, verse 19. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. By the way, Salem, Jerusalem. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. I have to tell you, Melchizedek in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But here's an amazing thing, and I want to just bring it back to Nehemiah chapter number 3. And we're close. I hope it's not boring you tonight. I'm just talking to you about the old gate. What does this old gate represent? This old gate represents the timeless truth of God. It's the old gate. Psalm 119, 89 says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." How many of you believe in absolute truth tonight?
Amen.
We're doing a little exercise in our teen class. We're looking at what the Bible says. We're getting a bunch of scriptures, and I give the teens a handout. And the handout says truth and a bunch of lines. And then it says conviction, and then it has a bunch of lines. And then it has standard, and it has a bunch of lines. And so what we do is we look at the truth of any one given subject, because it's always truth no matter what subject it is. And so the young people write out, they'll say, here's the truth, let's summarize the truth. And so today we were looking at the Word of God. And one of the passages, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so one of the young people said, the Bible is given to us by God. Amen? And we just went through that. And so we had a conviction. And what is the conviction? The conviction was then this, I will read an every word Bible.
Amen.
Amen? And I will believe the Word of God for whatever it says. Because it is absolute truth.
Right.
Is anybody with me tonight?
Amen.
Y'all can have a good time later. We're almost done, I promise. Well, why? And so then we began to develop standards on how we're going to protect the Word of God and do some different things. We won't get a chance to go into that tonight. Because what I told our young people is this, truth is always changing in our culture.
Right.
But truth don't change. If it was true once, it's still true. It's always been true.
Amen.
If truth ever becomes an untruth, it was never truth in the first place.
Right.
In Jeremiah chapter 6 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. When Jeremiah came to the people of God, this is what God said, find who I am. Go back to the beginning. Go back and look at the original truth. Go look how I revealed myself to you, and you'll find rest for your souls. And the people said, no, we don't want to do it. Years ago, a movement started. It was called Old Paths. Now, I'm not going to, don't amen or no men it or whatever like that. My issue with it was this, it only went back a few years.
Yeah.
Old paths didn't begin 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. In fact, they didn't even begin a time ago. They've always have been because God is truth and therefore truth has always been.
Amen.
That's the old path. Y'all with me on this?
Yeah.
Y'all with me on this tonight? Old path is not just synonymous with a certain way to do church, a certain style of church, and we can get into different principles. The point I'm trying to make is this, the old gate represents God's truth, unalterable, unchangeable, immutable, and it always will be. And you live in a society today that does not believe that truth is unchangeable. It moves around and goes around, and what was true last year ain't even true today. I'm sorry to even say it, but you know Cosmopolitan, which ain't a magazine for Christian women anyway, but it ain't even for women anymore. It ain't for men neither. I can tell you that one right there. Go with me to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Not too long ago, I had a woman of the year. Wasn't even a woman. That's amazing. Acts chapter number 17. That's the truth. Why? I'm not trying to be sensational. That's where you live today, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Truth has changed, but not God's truth.
Right.
Acts chapter number 17. I want you to look at something here. Acts chapter number 17. Where is 17? I know it's in here. Acts chapter number 17. I'm moving quickly. Acts chapter number 17. What I'm saying to you tonight is, as God's people, we need to rebuild the old gate and hold on to truth as if we are on a sinking ship, because it's the only thing that's going to keep us afloat.
Amen.
Acts chapter 17, verse number 16. Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I want you to look at something. If this doesn't parallel our nation and our country and our whole world right now, I don't know what does. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him, Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Look at this verse number 21. This is a commentary on our culture today. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Always looking for some new experience, some new truth, some new excuse to do something wrong, some new way to redefine something. Are y'all with me on this one right here? It's always new. And God says you don't need the new, you need the old. You need the old path. You don't need a new look, you need the old book. And I know that's a little Christian song and it's cute for kids, but I like it. Get the new look from the old book, get the new look from God's Word. How many of you know it? All right, we'll learn it next Sunday night. But the bottom line is this. Can I tell you something that Jeremiah said to them? God said through Jeremiah, if you go to the old path, you'll find rest for your souls. You know why our country and why our people are so messed up? People can't find rest for their souls because there's no rest in that which is new, because it's not true and it doesn't work. It don't change people's lives. It brings bondage, and we got to rebuild the old gate as a church and say, we're going to hold on to the Word of God and preach the Word of God and live the Word of God. Amen. Too many Christians today want something new. They want the latest teaching, the latest experience, the latest high profile this, and a new way to parent. I'm just going to say it because I said it today, all right? You don't need a new way to parent. You just need to do it God's way.
Amen.
But we need truth for the modern man. We'll go to the timeless truth of God's Word and just do it that way. It'll work. Somebody say amen. People try to change truth and make it acceptable what the world thinks is right today. And that truth will be different tomorrow. And I say to you tonight, let's all stand. I won't go on to my next one. These are some gates that need to be built. Somebody called our church old school not too long ago. I guess that's okay.
Amen.
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 As long as it's built on truth.
Yeah.
I told our young people, and look this way, and I'm closing. I told our young people, we looked at what the Bible said, how Jesus said about the traditions of men. They ruin the truth of God's Word, and I'm summarizing there. And I told our young people, you know, develop some things. That's good. But never let traditions trump truth.
Amen. Good.
Amen. Truth always trumps tradition.
Right.
And sometimes, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll put more stock in tradition. I want to tell you, that's a new gate.
Yep.
We need the old gate. God's truth. Y'all with me on this tonight?
Come on.
We okay this evening? Hey, let's build some gates in our lives. Let's go back to the sheep gate. Let's ask God to help us walk through the fish gate. Let's ask God to help us build the old gate. The Ancient of Days calls us back to His ways that do not change, because He is yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God. I change not.
Will thine for
the answer.
fight my battle.